Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. Well, praise God. If you got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Hebrews as we continue our study. In the book of Hebrews, how many guys got your Bibles here in church today? Right on. How many guys have your digital versions? I love how Paul DeYoung, he was here on Wednesday night, was talking about that. He thought that it was the, I thought it was the Shekinah glory over the congregation, but it turned out just to be the reflection of everybody's devices and their screens shining on them. And, you know, we're so blessed to be able to have the gospel of Jesus Christ in so many forms and fashions and translations at our fingertips. It's just an amazing opportunity, so let's not overlook that and get into the Word of God today. Before we get started, I just want to take a quick moment just to give you a plug. And the reason I'm going to do this is oftentimes you'll hear us from the pulpit say that last week's message was good, or you need to get this or you need to get that. But the truth is if you did not hear what Pastor Jim talked about last week, you need to hear it. You need to go and get the CD after service in the CD counter, or you need to go home and download it, put it on your phone or put it on your computer, whatever it might be. Listen to it on your way to work. Listen to it while you're driving, whatever it might be. Sit down and listen to it. And the reason I say that is a very important message for the church that we have got to get a hold of and we have got to live and apply in our lives. And normally we say that, man, last week's message was great, but I'm telling you, without a shameless plug, without feeling bad about it, the truth be told, you need to listen to last week's message from Pastor Jim. And if you haven't heard it, go get it, listen to it over and over and over again. And I'll tell you what, your life will never be the same. This morning, I want to continue in our subject of the book of Hebrews. The title of this morning's message is Forgetfulness, the Human Condition. Forgetfulness, the human condition. Now, before we get started, I want to give you a disclaimer, because there's nothing more discouraging as a preacher than to preach a message about one subject and have somebody come and tell me, man, that was totally great. I'm going to apply it to something that had nothing to do with what you were talking about. I remember a long time ago, when we were in the book of Hebrews, I believe it's in the third chapter, talking about encouraging each other while we have today, I was talking about utilizing today. And it was a family member of mine says to me, man, that was a really neat message. You know, I'm going to learn to play the guitar because of that. And it was like, I was talking about encouraging the saints. And he's like, carpe diem, man. And it's like, okay. So the message of the title of the message is forgetfulness, the human condition. Listen, we've all forgotten recipes. We've all forgotten directions. We've all forgotten things that somebody's told us. We've forgotten stories. We've even forgotten memories. I don't want to speak today about your physical condition of memory. What I want to talk about is the Christian condition, or the human condition, of forgetting what God has done, what God has said, and what God will do in our lives. So before we even get started, I want to lay that disclaimer that when we're talking about the subject of forgetfulness, that we are discussing the subject of forgetting what God has done in our lives. So as we look in the book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter, picking off right where we left off last week, Hebrews in the 10th chapter, beginning in verse number 32. Verse number 32 says, "But recall the former days." Now, I'm going to read all the way through verse 34 so that we can see this entire sentence in its context. But here in the very beginning, the exhortation to the church is to recall the former days, to look back. This is where we're going to focus on today. This is what we're going to look at today. But let's read on in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. "Recall the former days in which you were illuminated," or you were enlightened or brought into the body of Christ. "You endured a great struggle with sufferings." Verse number 33 says, "Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations," or hard times, "and partly while you became companions to those who were so treated." Verse number 34, "For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven." This is really an amazing exhortation to the church and a really interesting thought, because here in the beginning of this sentence, this is all being one thought together. Here in the beginning of this sentence or this thought, the author of Hebrews exhorts the church to recall the former days, to look back, to think back on what you've gone through, what you've been through, and how you've made that. But at the end of this very thought, it says, understanding that you have something to look forward to understand that you have a past that you have come from, but also that you have a future in God. And we have got to understand that in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 32, where we're going to focus on today is to recall the former days. I remember I was in our young adult service and I was setting up my guitar before one of our services. I was going to play in the worship band that night. And one of our guitar players, very talented and gifted individual, says to me, "Pastor Luke, as a pastor, what is the most interesting thing you have ever seen?" And in hindsight, I realized that he was looking for, you know, maybe something like along the lines of, oh, I remember one time I was in Peru and I laid hands on somebody and they had a tumor on their neck and literally we felt the tumor dissolve. Or I remember there was a deaf lady that she heard after a healing service and she cried out because it was the first time she had ever heard in her life. Or I've seen a blind person. I think he was looking for that. But I looked at this young man and I said, you know what? The most interesting thing I've seen as a pastor is how fast people forget. You see, as a pastor, what I do is all around and involved around people. Everything that I do in my day-to-day operations and my day-to-day duties, it revolves around people and investing in and sowing into people. And because of that, we get to see some amazing things. We see people come and give their heart to the Lord, and we see people come and see their lives changed and restored by what God has done and what God is doing in their lives. But at the same time, we also see the negatives of that. We see people that are founded in the Word of God, and eventually as life unfolds and as things happen in their life and as they grow in their things of in life, you know, they begin in the front row and then they move to the back or to the middle, and then they move further and further back and then off to the side and closest to the exit, and eventually you see them leaving early, and then you see them once a month, and then you see them once every 3 months, and it's like, if we could just remind people of, man, if you could only remember where you came from that brought you here. And so what happens is we forget what God has done. We forget what God has said, and we forget what God will do in our lives. And because of that, we get wrapped up in the world around us. And so today I want to talk about the human condition of forgetfulness and what you and I can do to overcome that, to get beyond that, to grow past that, to what God has desired for us, to remember Him, to recall what God has done in our lives. And so today we're going to look at this. But before we get into how we can get beyond this condition, let's take a quick look at some things that would cause us to forget. Why do we forget? Some simple thoughts here of why you and I forget. I'm sure there's many more, but here's just a few for us this morning. Why do we forget? First thought is focus. Our focus changes. So often we get busy. We don't have time. We're going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. Or we're so focused on what tomorrow has, or our business plans, or our future, or what the weekend has, that we get so wrapped up in our focus that we no longer give time or attention to pay attention to what God has done, to what God is doing or has said, and what God will do. So our focus gets wrapped up. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking to his churches, and he says to one of his churches, he says, "This I have against you, that you have forgotten your first love." You see, you've gotten so wrapped up in your own stuff. You've gotten so wrapped up in what you see as important that you have forgotten the very reason you came to Christ and what you are doing in your life. And so Jesus exhorts the church to come back and realize what God has done. So why do we forget? Focus is one of those things. Another thing that causes us to forget is fraud. We forget because of fraud. You could even say it like this: deceit. When we allow the enemy in our lives a place or a foothold, when we allow the influence of the enemy to speak into our lives, the Bible says that Jesus says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will literally lead us by way of deceit, by way of fraud, to another direction, causing us to forget what God has doing, blinding our eyes to see what God has done or what God is saying in our lives. And we are literally taken away by the very essence of fraud from the devil, from the enemy, that we are robbed of what God has desired for us in our own lives. So why do we forget? Well, we forget because of focus. We forget because of fraud. Here's another one. We forget because of feelings. Has anybody in this place ever been offended? It's okay to say yes. I'm not going to scold you for it. You can't believe you've been offended. No, I'm just kidding. We have feelings. I remember in January, Jenya was here from Ukraine, and he was talking about emotions, irrational feelings that don't pertain to logic. So many times we've been offended. We've held bitterness in our lives. Well, God, I prayed for this and it didn't happen. God, I was believing for this and you didn't come through. Or God, that person in the church said this. Or Lord, I was in Stater Brothers and I saw the pastor two aisles over and he gave me a dirty look. And we have this offense or this bitterness, or we harbor onto these feelings. And literally what that does is it closes the door of our memory to what God has done, what God wants to do, and what God is saying. And we begin to focus on that feeling, or we begin to focus in on that offense. So it literally causes us to forget. So why do we forget? Focus, fraud, feelings. How about this one? Our flesh. I love it. You hear a lot of preachers say nowadays, you know, sometimes we give the devil too much credit. Amen. We're guilty too. We have a flesh body. We have a flesh nature. We have a desire. And so often what happens is we get wrapped up focusing in on ourselves, focusing in on our desires, focusing in or looking in at and taking care of what we want to do, thinking about what we want to think about, doing what we want to do, that we don't give ourselves time or the allotment or the ability to focus in or to remember or to recall what God has done. So literally through our selfishness, we forget what God has done. So why do we forget? Focus, fraud, feelings, flesh. How about this one? Fulfillment. So often in Christianity, somebody will come and say, man, we come to God in our time of need and we cry out to God, God, I need you. God, I need you to succeed in my business. God, I need you to succeed in my finance. Lord, I need you to bless my children. Lord, I need my relationship or my marriage to be restored. And we believe God and we seek after God and we focus after God. But then as things become good, as we grow content, as our businesses begin to flourish, or as our relationships begin to be mended, or our children, we see them succeeding in life, then all of a sudden we grow happy and content, and we no longer focus on what has happened or what God is saying, but now we say, well, now I'm good. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that a great story about King Solomon. David, his father, said, if you remember all that I have told you, your kingdom will last. But at the end, and as the days of Solomon grew, and as wisdom grew, and as his notoriety grew, and as his wealth grew, he became content in his life. And the Bible tells us that his heart was turned away from God. And literally, his son ripped the kingdom in half. We can grow content and forget what God has done. So why do we forget? Focus, fraud, feelings, flesh, fulfillment. One more for this morning. Why do we forget? Fights, trials, tribulations, hard times. We get wrapped up in our pain. We get wrapped up in the suffering. We get into this, woe is me. God, why would you allow this to happen to me? How can this be happening to me right now? It's our condition, our nature to seek out those who are going through what we're going through. You've heard this, the phrase, misery loves company. It's easier to complain than it is to resolve the problem. And so we get so wrapped up in complaining, we get so wrapped up in focusing on the pain or the trials or the hardships of what we're going through, that we forget what God has done, we forget what God has said, and we forget what God will do in our lives, and we focus in on our trials, and we find ourselves in a place that God does not desire for us to be. So here we've looked at some reasons as to why we forget. I know that there's so many that we could even look at, and there's more that we can talk about. But today I want to move beyond why we forget after we've laid the foundation as to what we can do in order to not. But before I do, I want to lay the challenge on you and on me. You see, it's in our human condition. Nobody can remember everything. There's not one person that has remembered everything in life. So you can take a deep breath and say, all right, whew. It's okay to forget some things in life. But here is the challenge for you and I. That it is our responsibility to remember God in all seasons, in all walks, in all aspects of our lives. Let me put it like this. Nobody can make you, nobody could make me remember what is my responsibility to remember. You've probably been there before, telling a story or talking to somebody. Man, you and I were here. Do you remember that? No, man. Well, dude, it was on a Monday. It was Friday. Or, you know, it was like this. The weather was like that. You were wearing a red shirt. No, man. And they said, no, man, I don't remember. No matter what you do, even if you remind them and tell the story back to them, you cannot make them remember. You see, nobody can make us not forget. It is our responsibility. That is the challenge or the weight that is placed upon our shoulders. It is our responsibility to remember God. In Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, Moses' sermon to the Hebrews or the Israelites here, as are the children of Israel as they're going, as it's time to move on, as he's reminding in Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, verse number 9, Moses says, and he says this, he says, only take heed to yourself. You know what take heed means? Work at it. Be diligent. Put some effort into it. Let me give you the antonym or the opposite of take heed. Be lazy. Do nothing. Don't even think about it. So here Moses is saying, work hard. Do something. Put an effort to diligently keep yourself. Listen to this. Why? Lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen. And lest they depart from you all the days of your life. And it goes on and even further, and it says, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Why? Because we have got to learn that when God is faithful to us, when God is faithful to the generation previous to us, to the generation that was previous to them, that God is faithful to them, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and will be faithful to us. The travesty is hundreds of years later, the time of Gideon. The Bible tells us that the children of Israel no longer remembered what God had done for them. And now they're finding themselves in a season of oppression, and they're literally hiding in caves and in holes from their oppressors. You see, if we allow ourselves to forget, the world will come. Life will unfold. Opposition will present itself. And if we forget what God has for us, we will find ourselves hiding in holes, hiding in caves against what God has. When God says, my desire for you churches to be more than conquerors. That's our challenge. It's our mandate. It's our responsibility from God. But let me tell you something. Let me give you a sigh of relief that even though we have a challenge, we have a weight on our shoulders, we have a relief. On Friday, I was playing my guitar with the worship band before the service. I just wanted to worship with them, so I brought over my guitar, just was playing and listening, and we were having a good time. And afterwards, I said, man, I'm preaching on tomorrow, and I got to take my guitar, and I got to take my amp, and I got to bring it back over here to the office where I store it, and I hold on to it, and I'm thinking, man, this is heavy. I pick it up, and I look at my guitar and my guitar pedals and stuff like that, and I said, oh, I got to come all the way back. I got to go. I'm tired, and I got to come all the way back and get all this stuff. And as I'm walking, a young man walks up to me and he says, hey, Pastor Luke, let me help you with that. Praise God. Relief. You see, you and I have a responsibility on our shoulders, but we have a relief given to us by God to know that we are not alone in our responsibility. If you have your Bibles, go to me the book of John in the 14th chapter. John in the 14th chapter. What a really neat section of scripture. Oftentimes, if you're wondering, man, I just wonder what I should read, or I'm opening up my Bible for a devotion, what should I read? Turn to John the 14th chapter. It's great. 15th chapter is right on there with it. John the 14th chapter, Jesus is encouraging his disciples. In verse number 26, Jesus says this. John the 14th chapter, verse number 26, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that says, hey, can I help you? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And listen to this. And he will bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. Praise God, we have help in remembering what God has said, what God has done, and what God will do. One of the very functions of the Holy Spirit is to remind you and I of God's goodness in our lives. So here now we have this challenge to remember what God has done. Now let us look for the last couple of minutes this morning on what we can do so that we do not forget. How to not forget. Some simple thoughts for this morning. How to not forget. First thought for this morning is to set a memorial. Now, when you think of memorial, you probably think of what I think of a memorial. I think of sad, somber, somebody died. So, you know, it's like on the TV or in the movies, everybody's wearing black. It's always raining. You know, But let me tell you what a memorial, as it's literally defined, is. A memorial is something established especially to remind people of a person or an event. Something that is established especially to remind people of a person or an event. A memorial is simply this, a reminder. Something that you see that says there was a battle here, or there was a victory here, or this person stood for something, or this person did something. That's why in Washington, D.C., it's full of memorials. Why? So that we would remember what it took for us to be this great nation that we are. And you see, all throughout the Old Testament, the Bible, in the Bible, God instructs His people to set up memorials for the specific reason that they would not forget what He has done. One of the greatest examples is the Passover. As the angel of the Lord came and took the firstborn of those in Egypt and passed over those who had painted the blood of an innocent lamb over their door, God says and instructs His people, I want you to hold a feast every year to remind you of what God has done, that God has spared you and delivered you. In the Bible, in the book of Joshua, God is instructing Joshua. He says, Joshua, I want you to grab 12 men from Israel. As they're entering into the promised land, finally it's time, and they take the Ark of the Covenant, and the priests there go before, and the moment they step on the banks of the great Jordan River, whew, the water goes from side to side, and the ground becomes dry. And they cross over the Jordan River on dry land, just like they crossed out of Egypt on dry land. And God says to Joshua, I want you to take 12 men, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and I want you to go and tell them to get a rock out of the river where they crossed. Now, you know when God says to get a rock, God's not saying, oh, there's a rock. Got one, right? Okay, God's saying, I want you to go get a rock. A real one. So, you know, these guys are going and they're picking this up and throwing it. No, don't fall. Okay. And God says, I want you to take that rock and place it where you camped that night. So as Joshua is instructing his people to choose 12, one from each of the tribes of Israel to get this rock, he explains why in Joshua, the fourth chapter, verse number 6. And he says that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? That you shall answer them, and you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And he says, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. A continual, constant reminder that God was with them. Church, God's desire for us is to set up memorials in our life that we would remember so that we would not forget what God has done. Oftentimes you may have heard of Pastor Jim talking about where he was or where he came from. And I remember growing up, there was a blue license plate with yellow words or yellow letters that said MATT633. And it was Dad's license plate on his car. And even after that car was long gone, that license plate was displayed on the garage so that every time we came and every time we left, we would see that if we sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. When my wife and I, we poured the slab for our patio in our backyard, at every door, at every exit of our house, on every corner of our patio, we took a nail and we inscribed scriptures in the wet cement, and we wrote the references down so that every time we stepped out of our house onto the patio, we would have a memorial, a reminder of Matthew 6:33, of Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Even after we are long gone from that house, in the cement of that patio, the memorial will be remembered. So we've got to set up things that would cause us to remember what God has desired and what God has said and what God will do. How to not forget? Number two, to meditate on God. Now, I know what you're thinking. I talked about memorial. You were thinking a funeral. Meditate, you're thinking of sitting Indian style on the ground and humming. Let me tell you what meditating is. Meditation, literally defined, is to think deeply or to focus for a period of time. Meditate on God, to think deeply or to focus on God for a period of time. We get so busy, we get so wrapped up, we get so involved in everything that's going on around us that by the time it's time to go to bed, we're exhausted and we lay down and we never give God any moment or any time in our lives. And we've got to set time aside to focus, to think deeply on what God has done. A couple of weeks ago, I took some guys up to the Eastern High Sierras for a little retreat. And we drove up to 395, and some of the guys that were in my car, they got like the scenic version, and I was like the tour guide. And I was pointing, see that mountain over there? That mountain is called this, and this is the reason it was called that. And see how this one is black, and that one is, and see, look at the different rocks over here. That's actually from this kind of a rock, and this one erupted 800 million years ago. And over there in the hills, there's a ghost town that doesn't exist anymore, and they used to mine this, and this is the shootout that happened over there. And they're just like, dude, how do you know all this stuff? Well, because I like that drive. That's probably my favorite place on earth. And every time I drive, I'd pick up the little tour guide and read. Wow, I didn't know that. And I would focus and I would give attention and I would give time to read that. But did you know that putting time or putting focus or giving effort to learn something, especially as useless as a town in 1850 that doesn't even exist today on the Highway 395 in the desert of California, is senseless, useless information. But when we focus and meditate on what God has done, it is never senseless, nor is it ever useless. We spend time thinking upon what God has done. In Psalms, the 77th chapter, Psalms in the 77th chapter, it's a psalm of Asaph, and in the first 10 verses, he's talking about the trials and the hardship and the tribulation that he's gone through and the oppression that he's dealing with and all that's pressing against him. And in verse number 10 in Psalms, the 77th chapter, it says this, and I said, this is my anguish. I've laid it out. I've let it be known. This is what I'm going through, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Verse number 11, he goes on and he says, I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. And verse number 12, he says, I will also meditate on all your work. See, God's desire for us is to spend time focusing on what he has done, on what his word says, and on what he will do. Remember Hebrews in the 10th chapter. Recall back and look forward at the same time. How to not forget, meditate on God. How to not forget, set a memorial. Number three, how to not forget, marriage to Christ. Last week, Pastor Jim says, you know, preachers say, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. Guilty, been there before, but he was so right. Why? Because each and every one of us have relationships in our life that we know. We look at that person or we look at that and we say, man, I need to give attention to that. I need to work on my relationship, and yet we do nothing for it. It's not just about a relationship. You see, it's about a marriage relationship. The most intimate of unions between a man and a woman on this earth is God's union of marriage. It's the most intimate relationship a human being can enter into. And God says, that is my desire for a relationship with you. The Bible describes us as the bride, the church, as the bride of Christ. Jesus, all throughout his parables, references the bridegroom. And in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, he speaks of husbands and wives and gives them the example by leading them in the example of a physical marriage by the relationship of Jesus and the church. Ephesians in the 5th chapter, verse number 24, Paul the Apostle, as he writes to the church, he says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so should wives be to their own husbands and everything. You know, we say, wives, be submissive to your husbands. That's not like, oh, man, I got to listen to what he says. You know why? Because we don't say that about Jesus. Oh, man, I got to serve Jesus. We're glad to. We're excited to, because he has pulled us out. Why? Because we remember where we've come from. Verse number 25, it goes on and it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for you. Doesn't give the position of a husband to rule over, to reign over. I'm the man, woman. Because Jesus loved and gave himself for the church, for you and I. So he paints this picture of love in a marriage union, and his desire, God's desire, is for us to be married to Christ in our relationship, so intimate with each other that we know each other's intimate feelings and thoughts towards each other. The Bible says in Jeremiah 4, I know the plans and thoughts I have for you. God wants to share them with us. But we have got to be united. You see, a relationship without communication, a relationship without time spent is not a good or healthy relationship. What's the most important thing a marriage can be trusted or be based on is trust. Where does trust come from? Past experiences. As you get to know each other, you realize that I can give them my dreams. I can place them, their life or my life in their hands. I can have children with them and know that they will be with me. And as we grow in our relationship with God, our trust grows because we base it on past experiences. Guess what? That we remember. With God, his desire for us is to have a marriage relationship with Jesus. Last one for this morning. How to not forget. Last one. This is a really neat one too. Is to be a messenger. Be a messenger. To shout it out. To proclaim it, to share the word of God, the testimony of what God has done, not just in your life, but in the lives of those who are around you. It's cool to share somebody else's testimony. Because it is something, God has wired inside of humanity something to hear the testimonies of what God has done. You see, when we can share, we can sit around the campfire and talk about days of old. Oh, man, do you remember when we did this and we were crazy kids and that person, they yelled at us and they chased us and everybody's laughing. And you can tell that story every day till you're blue in the face. And guess what will happen? And that story will become redundant. It'll become repetitive. Your friends will start to say, yeah, man, you already told us about that. We talked about that. But did you know that your testimony, that what God has done, will never be redundant? It will never be repetitive. It'll never be useless in sharing. When we went away to Bible college, we were the last graduating class that was able to sit underneath Kenneth Hagin Sr., a great mighty man of God, did some wonderful and amazing works. And it was a privilege to sit under his class. And I remember as he would teach and he would come, the class would just stand in awe and reverence as he would walk into the class, and we would just sit, and he would sit on his stool and he would just start to tell his stories. Well, I remember it was 1954 and I was driving down and we would, okay, you know. And then we would go to another class about a completely different subject, and he would sit down on his stool. Well, I remember it was 1954, and then it would be like camp meeting or this big like conference or something like that, and he would sit, and everybody would listen on the edge of the chairs. What is this man of God going to say? Well, I remember it was like 19, and after a while, we're kind of like, all he does is tell the same stories. But then what happened is we began to listen, and every time he would share a story, every time he would share a testimony, every time he would tell us something that we already knew or we had already heard, I would get something different out of it. I would get a little nugget here. I'd get a little treasure there. Oh, man, I didn't hear that before. I didn't realize this happened before, or this little aspect of the story over there. And it would strengthen us and encourage us. And as students graduating out of Bible college, getting ready to go into the ministry, we were equipped, we were empowered, we were encouraged, because God was faithful to him. God will be faithful to us. Psalms in the 96th chapter, verse number 3, says, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. Instead of gathering around the water cooler on Monday morning, talking about what happened on the weekend, and did you see what happened on TV, or did you see what Beyonce's doing, or whatever, something else is going on, let's gather together and start being messengers of what God has done, what stories we've heard. Man, you should hear what God is doing in Asia. You should hear what God is doing in Africa. I heard from this preacher from the Middle East, and he was talking about this. Let me tell you what God is doing, and what that serves to do as encourage and build and strengthen the body of Christ. To remember that God is good. And the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel the 17th chapter, this young boy, David, goes before the mighty the great King Saul, the Saul who the Bible describes as a head above everybody else, the one that stood up when everybody else bowed down. Saul was this great, mighty leader, and here is this teenage boy before the king of Israel, pleading on behalf of God to allow him to be the sole representative in a one-on-one fight to the death against Palestine's or Philistine's greatest warrior. And he convinces the king of Israel, the subject of the term was whoever lost that army would be now slaves to the other. And here is this teenage boy that allows, or that convinces this great mighty king of Israel, the first king, to allow him to be the sole representative with nothing more than a slingshot and some rocks. Why? Because he says to the king, it was God who delivered me from the hand of the lion, or the mouth of the lion. It was God who delivered me from the mouth of the bear. And it is God who will deliver me from the hands of this uncircumcised Philistine. Because he was a messenger of what God has done, he was victorious in life. So the human condition is forgetfulness. We're prone to it. Spiritually speaking, it comes easy to us. But praise God, the Bible tells us that in Christ, we are new creations. Behold, the old is gone and passed away, and now we are a new creation, which means the human condition may be forgetfulness, but we are no longer a subject to the human condition. Now we live in the Christ condition. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can remember what God has done and be victorious in life, which God has desired for us. Did you guys get something out of the word of the Lord this morning? Praise God.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.